there are, I want to just talk about a definition of kindness, then I want to talk about God's kindness, and then how we are to be the fruit of God's kindness as the that aspect of the fruit of the Spirit. And I was thinking of kindness, kindness, kindness. What is kindness? And kindness is in the midst of turmoil and things that are going on, there are people that come to mind that it's like, how can you be like that? How can you be so calm? How can you always have a smile on your face? And I asked Margie about it because I thought of this situation at the grocery store where there's a greeter at the door, and she always has a smile, and she has a horrible life. I mean, she's a special needs person, and but yet she's always greeting people with a smile and just saying, have a good day, have a good day. And I thought, man, that is so kind. And I said, Margie, I need a better example. So she throws Corrie Ten Boom on me. And those of you that know Corrie Ten Boom, she was captured by the Nazis. She was in a prison camp, and her sister were there. They were brutally abused. Her sister was actually killed. And then she, when she got out, her acts of kindness were to try to protect Jews and other people from this Holocaust that was going on. But also, one time she was speaking about what was going on and how God changed her life, and this man comes up to her, and he's grinning and he's smiling and he's filled with the Spirit of God because he's given his life to Christ. And he goes up to shake her hand and he goes, I don't know if you'll remember me. And she does. He was one of the guards in the camp that abused her and treated her so bad. And he stuck out his hand and he says, I want you to know I'm a believer now. And he stuck out his hand for her to shake. And she said, I couldn't do it. But the Spirit of God came upon her and she was able to shake his hand. That is a kindness that was expressed in the midst of, I don't want to do this. Because kindness, if it's the fruit of the Spirit, if it's in our own power, it doesn't mean anything. I'm being kind because maybe I'm altruistic. I'm just doing this so that I'll get something in return. I'm doing this so you'll think, hey, Paul's a nice guy. I'm just doing this so I can go about my life and just say, hey, look what I did. But yet, when the Spirit of God produces fruit in us and kindness, the godly kindness takes over us, we are able to shake the hands and embrace the people that have abused us. It's a supernatural thing. Kindness isn't just, you know, being nice. Sandra preached a sermon. She goes, you know, kindness and niceness are two separate things. You know? We're in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, and this is what it says. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such things there is no law. And when Paul described this whole idea of love, what is love? And we think about love, and Jesus says that we are to love one another, that they will know we are his disciples if we show and have love for one another. When Paul described love, the first thing he says, the first two words he used were, love is patient and love is kind. Love is patient and love is kind. Love has to do with our attitude. I want to love somebody. I want to love my family. I want to love my Lord. I want to love God's word. It's our attitude. Joy has to do with our emotion. It's deeper than a happiness or whatever, but I'm filled with the joy of the Lord. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Peace. We talk about, I need a peace of mind. Peace is our mind, our thoughts, how we approach our life. Patience has to do with how we react. And again, it's a relational thing. How are we going to react? I'm going to be patient. I'm going to listen to you. I'm not going to try to jump in. I'm not going to try to rule over you. I'm going to be patient with you. Kindness has to do with our behavior. How are we going to behave? How are we going to behave? Are we going to raise our hands and say, you know what, I'm a Christ follower. I love Jesus. I love everything about him. I love people. But then we live our lives so that we just ignore people and treat people differently. That's not kindness. is we grow in kindness when we allow the Holy Spirit to inspire our behavior. And kindness is not just the way we feel towards others, but how we act. It's not just how you feel, it's how you act. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, let's define kindness. I found several different definitions because kindness goes beyond mere acts of goodwill. It's a disposition. It's an attitude that permeates the different aspects of our life. It's a genuine concern for the well-being of others. Think about what Christ told us to do. We are to care for the widows and the orphans. That's being kind to people that the rest of the society kind of casts to the side. When we embody kindness, we create an environment of love and acceptance. We build stronger relationships with those people around us. When Paul again described love in 1 Corinthians, the first two words were patient and kind. Kindness involves compassion. It's caring and giving. It's necessary in order for us to exist. Tim Keller said this, "Kindness is an ability to serve others practically in a way that makes me vulnerable." In other words, if you are really going to open yourself up and be kind to people, you are opening yourself up for them to reject you, or to not like you, or to hate you. When you serve somebody, another definition is a gracious disposition of character and attitude that encompasses tenderness, compassion, and sweetness. Another one is a gracious disposition that motivates one to do things that are helpful or beneficial to others. Again, acting. A gracious disposition that is an overflow of God's generosity, which leads to generosity to others. God's generosity to you, and it leads to others. I think, and this is mine and you may disagree, but I think it is a response to what God has done in our lives. In other words, I see you, I value you, and so I care for you. I wasn't always like that. I lived probably the first 60 years of my life living for me. Only in the last couple years have I learned that it is not about me. I heard it said one time, and I shared this with my Sunday school class, when you get married, there's one person in the relationship that is always right, and the other person's the husband. And it took me how long, Margie, to figure that out? No, kindness, living our lives, making ourselves vulnerable to others for serving. It's a response to what God has done in our lives. God is kind. And so God pours out His Spirit into us. And one of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives is because God is kind, we are kind. Let's look at God's kindness. First thing about God's kindness, it's part of His character. If you look at Exodus chapter 34, verse 6, He is describing Himself to Moses as he's passing by. And he goes, "The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness.'" God's kindness has to do with His compassion, with His grace, and with His love. Here God presents Himself to Moses as a compassionate and gracious God, abounding in love. And the Hebrew word that's translated love there refers to kindness. It's His mercy and faithfulness. Sometimes your translation may even say it is God's loving kindness. And it puts the word together. Psalm 136:1, the writer says this, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever." And then it goes on in Psalm 136, 26 times in the 26 verses, we are told over and over again, it keeps repeating that, "For the steadfast love endures forever. His steadfast love endures forever. His steadfast love endures forever." That's His loving kindness, His steadfast love. That's His character. That's who He is. God is kind. I heard it said, you know, someone said, I just heard the other day, someone said, "Why is God punishing me?" God does not punish you. The punishment that we deserved was taken away at the cross. God will discipline you. God will rebuke you. God will correct you. But God will not punish you. Our punishment was taken if you are a believer of Christ. God is kind, but He will not leave the guilty unpunished. But for those of us that believe, God is kind. He will lead us in those paths of righteousness. He will correct our paths. God is kind. So the first thing is, it's part of His character. But another thing about God's kindness is it's totally undeserved. God's kindness towards us is totally undeserved. Titus in the letter says this, "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy." We did not deserve God's kindness. We deserved His sternness. We did not deserve His kindness, but we deserved His punishment for our sins. God did not save us because we were good, because we did anything that was perfect or fancy or whatever. He saved us because He loved us and He was kind. It's undeserved. It's unexpected. We didn't expect it, and yet we got it. So we looked at some definitions of kind, and it's this overflow of how we act from God's actual spirit pouring into us and His kindness pouring into us. We looked at how God is, that's part of His character. It's who He is. And it's also totally undeserved. So what does that even mean for us? Where do we go with this? How do we say, okay, what are the fruit of the Spirit? What does this mean for me? Well, the first thing is we don't just acknowledge God's kindness. We don't just say, hey, God, thanks for being kind. We have to mirror it. We have to be that light. We have to be that salt. We have to be that city on the hill. We have to let the Spirit in us, let that kindness come out of us. Paul writes to the Colossians in chapter 3. He says this, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones," and that's you, "holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." Do you see how you make yourselves vulnerable in that? Bearing with one another, and if someone has a complaint against one another, forgive. I want to be kind to you, and then you tell me everything that I've done wrong to you. And I've opened myself up for that. How do I respond? Do I get defensive and fight back? No. I humbly submit and I apologize. I'm kind. I need to let God do. And again, this is not our nature. This is not our nature. It is a supernatural working of the Holy Spirit in us. Paul writes a letter to the Ephesians. He says this, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice." Get rid of those things. "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you." That's our example. We're kind because He was kind. We mirror what He did for us. On the cross, as Christ is dying and He looks out and they've spit on Him and they've beat Him and they've pierced Him and they've done all these things to our Lord and Savior, He looks down on them, not with hatred. He looks down on them and says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." He looks down on them with kindness. In Matthew, we see this. "And should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" In Matthew 18, that's the story of the unforgiving servant. There was a man that owed a lot of money, and the guy brings him in, says, "Pay me what you owe me or I'm going to throw you in jail." And he goes, I can't afford to pay. I don't have the money. Please have mercy on me." And so he says, "Okay, you know what? I'm going to forgive your debt." And it was a lot. He says, "I'm going to forgive your debt." He says, "Thank you, thank you, thank you. You are so kind." And I'm adding a little bit there, but that's what he was thinking. And if I would have written it, that's what I would have said. So he goes out. And immediately he runs into somebody that owes him just a little. And he grabs him and he says, pay me what you owe me. And he goes, oh, please be merciful with me. I don't have it. I can't afford it. I can't do anything. And what does he do? He takes him and says, well, you're going to jail then until you can pay me everything you owe me. And he has him arrested. Problem is, the first guy, the real rich guy, heard about it. And he called for the guy to come back. Hey, buddy, come here. Let me talk to you for a minute. He goes, I forgave you a lot. You should have gone and done the same, but you didn't. You messed up. And because you messed up, now you are going to jail and your family and everybody until I am paid what I am owed. Because you should have shown some kindness. Jesus sums up that whole parable with the unmerciful servant with these words. He says, shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? You see, our kindness is not something you could say, yeah or no. It is something that we are supposed to do. We are commanded to do. Shouldn't we do that because he was kind to us? Shouldn't we have kindness on others? However, we shouldn't just be kind out of obligation. Okay, you were kind to me. I guess I need to be kind to somebody else. No, we need to have a desire to be kind. And that's where the fruit of the Spirit begins to do his work in us. It's a desire to be more Christ-like because we want to be like our Heavenly Father. In Luke, it says this, love your enemies, do good and lend. Expect nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and to the evil. Be merciful even as your Father is merciful. God is kind to those that hate him. God is kind to those that don't follow him. God, it says here, is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. So we should be merciful even as he is merciful. We should mirror that kindness in our lives. And again, it's not optional. That's the second thing. It is not optional for Christ followers. So in the unforgiving servant, as he goes through in Matthew, it says this, so also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Shouldn't you have had mercy on these people because God's had mercy on you? Yeah, but you don't know what they did. Shouldn't you have had mercy on other people because I had mercy on you? Yeah, but you don't understand the whole circumstance. You don't know the whole picture, God. Shouldn't you have had mercy on others? Shouldn't you have been kind? Because Jesus says this, so also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from the heart. You don't show kindness, you will be judged by unkindness, you will be judged the way that you do. That's your standard of judgment. In challenging times, a compassionate act, something that we do for somebody, can bring comfort, it can bring hope, it can bring a sense of belonging, it can open the door to maybe a relationship that's been closed for a while. You may help someone that's felt overwhelmed or felt alone, and now they feel connected, or they feel that somebody out there actually cares. I want to close with this verse from 2 Peter. It says, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word for brotherly affection is the same thing for kindness. Kindness. It's one of the translations. For this reason, make every effort to supplement our faith by being more Christ-like. Virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. And it each leads And this is the fruit of the Spirit as it begins to manifest itself in us as we get less of ourselves and more of the Spirit in us. The Spirit is producing in us what we can't produce in ourselves. I mean, you can try to be kind, and you may even be kind for a moment or for a day or for a week, but eventually you're going to break if it's in your power. So the Spirit produces in us what we can't produce in ourselves. And we have to lean in to the Spirit as He continues to work in and through us to make us more Christ-like. Will you pray with me? Oh, Heavenly Father, we live in a world that is not so kind. We see people that are selfish and self-centered and leading lives where we trample on those that are less fortunate. We care more about ourselves and what about me? So, Father, I pray that You would begin to do a work in our heart, that we would have a spiritual heart surgery where our lives would be different as we allow the Holy Spirit to have rule and reign in our life, that Christ would be the love of our life, the most important thing, and that the light of Christ would shine so brightly in and through us, that others would be drawn to You. And as always, Father, we pray this in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen.